Well, thank you very much for giving me this chance to speak here. So my title is Generalized Coarse Structures and Mirror Symmetry, and the secret title is really the Hodge theory of deep brains. And for the most part, hopefully I'll have time to get to the results, but for the most part, this is a propaganda talk. And it's a joint work with Lyudmila Katsarkov and Maxim Kuntsevich. And it's really some input into this program that Kuntsevich has about extracting Hodge theoretic invariants from categories of deep brains. And the typical category of deep brains will be a category attached to a Landau-Ginzburg model, so homomorphic function f on a variety y, and we'll be constructing Hodge structures on some cohomology that you build out of this category. And the idea is to see how these things actually transform under mirror symmetry. And of course, the mirror is going to be some Foucault category, typically of a symplectic manifold. And so I'll try to present Kuntsevich's program to the extent possible in 1 hour. And then hopefully talk at the end about the structure of the Hodge theoretic invariants and maybe tell you a little bit of how one computes them. Okay, so what's Kuntsevich's program? It's revamping of classical Hodge theory. So in classical Hodge theory, we start with a Keller space, and we replace that Keller space by some linear algebraic data, which is the Hodge structure under the Ram cohomology of the space. And that's gotten by applying two theorems. So there are two comparison theorems, one comparing the Ram cohomology of X with the ordinary singular cohomology, the Betti cohomology, and the other comparing the Ram cohomology of X with the Dolbeau cohomology. So the first comparison theorem, of course, is the usual the Ram theorem, which works for any differentiable manifold. And the second is a combination of Hodge's theorem on harmonic representatives of cohomology classes and the Keller condition. So once you have these two comparisons, you immediately see that the Ram cohomology of X with complex coefficients inherits two extra linear algebraic structures. One is an integral lattice that comes from the identification with the Betti cohomology, and the other is the Hodge decomposition that comes from the identification with the Dolbeau cohomology. The Dolbeau cohomology is naturally bigraded by the type of forms. So remembering about these two extra linear algebraic data is exactly what Hodge theory is. That's the Hodge structure on cohomology. So we would like to, so Kuntsevich's program really is something that's supposed to extend this to generalized Keller spaces, which are going to be some kind of non-commutative spaces, and produce a Hodge structure on the cohomology, the Ram cohomology of these non-commutative spaces. Okay, so let's see what's a non-commutative space. Well, for purposes of this program of Kuntsevich, a non-commutative space is a small triangulated category which has two properties. It's closed with respect to splitting of projectors, and also the spaces of homomorphisms are enhanced. They're enriched. They're made out to be complexes of vector spaces, and that should be done in a way which is compatible with the process of shifting inside this triangulated category. So it's a very abstract definition of what a non-commutative space is. It goes back to an idea of Bondo in the early 90s, who started this program for studying non-commutative algebraic varieties in this way. There is a parallel physics definition which is supposedly equivalent, and it just says that a non-commutative space is just a two-dimensional quantum field theory with n equals 2 supersymmetry. Now, of course, reconciling these two definitions is a very complicated thing, and we basically only can do it in examples. But the intuition behind both definitions is that we don't really know what the non-commutative space is, but we know what its category of sheaves is, and that's this triangulated category that determines the space. And in physics, of course, this will be the category of D-branes for the TQFT.
Would that be important to understand this definition?
I know. It's not going to be important because... No, it's not. I don't think it's... I mean, it's not obvious to anybody that it's equivalent. I'll talk about many examples, and the upshot of this program of Kuntsevich is that you can, even though you don't really understand, for example, the category of D-branes in general for a general TQFT, you can hope to understand the charges, which will be captured by some cohomology attached to that category. And this cohomology will carry this extra structure, this Hodge structure. So this should have some bearing on the way the charges behave. Of course, I have no real idea what the physical meaning of this Hodge structure is. That's why I want to tell you about it. But eventually... So enriched over complexes really means that this is a category which is differential graded. It means that homomorphisms between objects are complexes.
Okay.
And
okay, that
right. So that's all it says. So it means that if you have a projector in the category, then it's split.
Okay, what's a projector?
It means a homomorphism that squares to itself.
Oh, I see. So the endomorphisms of an object.
Right. In the endomorphism of an object, if we... Yeah.
So you can talk about projectors.
Yeah. You want all those to be split in your category. So in fact, you can start with a category which doesn't have this property, and then there is a canonical way to add formally splittings of projectors.
What
and
do you mean by projectors?
It means that so you have a map from an object to object, and you want to have something that you would call the image of the projector, so another object, and a map to your object so that it splits your projector. So in principle, these sub-objects may not exist in your category, so you have to add them by hand. Plus the kernel, right? Okay, but again, you don't really need to know that in order to understand what I'm going to say, hopefully. Okay, so let me quickly do some examples, because I'm already running out of time. So if you have a variety or a scheme, you can view it as a non-commutative space by taking the category to be just the category of perfect complexes of quasi-coherent sheaves. So these are complexes of quasi-coherent sheaves that are locally quasi-isomorphic to complexes of vector bundles. So that would give you an interpretation of your category as of your space as a non-commutative space, and the category is the derived category of coherent sheaves, of quasi-coherent sheaves in this case.
I'm sorry, is this up to isomorphism of something?
Sorry?
Is this up to isomorphism of
something? Yeah. It's the triangulated category of quasi-isomorphism classes of perfect complexes. Right. So. Also, if X is just a complex manifold, you can take the derived category of quasi-coherent sheaves, and this will be a non-commutative set space in this case, but the enhancement is slightly tricky here. You cannot really use perfect complexes. You have to use the twisted complexes of... the terminology is... It's Kuntsevich's terminology. No. There is nothing non-commutative. I'm just saying here that ordinary commutative spaces can be viewed as non-commutative ones. Right? I gave you some strange definition of what a non-commutative space is.
Complex number is a special case of a non-commutative.
Exactly. Okay, but you know the way it was set up, it was really a category. So in fact,
N-systems are not necessarily commutative.
No, I mean the terminology is actually confusing, and I don't really like it. But Kuntsevich insists on it, so I don't want to change it right now. Anyway, so there is, I mean, you can really make sense of this as a non-commutative space through some enhancement, but it's a non-obvious enhancement. So if we take now a topological twist of a 2, 2 sigma model, you can view that as a non-commutative space. Oops. And what this means here is you take a generalized complex manifold in the sense of Hitchin, but it can't be an arbitrary generalized complex manifold. It has to be a half of a generalized Keller manifold. And if you have one of those, there is a partial definition of a category of generalized complex branch due to Kapustin and Lee, which, for example, in the case of a complex manifold, specializes to the category of coherent sheaves. And so this category will have to be a non-commutative space in the sense we're talking about. And whenever you can make sense of it, it actually is. But as I said, even though we don't really understand the category, we will understand the Ramco homology of this category, and it will have this Hodge theoretic structure. Okay. My main example, actually, is a Landau-Ginzburg model, which is going to be a holomorphic Landau-Ginzburg model, and it will be viewed as a non-commutative space. So this is an almost commutative non-commutative space. So it consists of a complex manifold, in fact, quasi-projective manifold Y, and a holomorphic function. And for various technical reasons, I'll assume here that it only has one critical value. In fact, this is not necessary, but then the theory becomes very cumbersome, so I don't want to deal with that. And then the category that really allows us to view this as a non-commutative space is this category of branches in the Landau-Ginzburg model. So there are two definitions. One is local through matrix factorizations. So the objects there are vector bundles, which are actually super vector bundles. They have even an odd part, together with an endomorphism that squares to a scalar map with the function f on the diagonal. And the homomorphisms are just the homomorphisms between the vector bundles that commute with the two differentials. And the differential for this, so this is supposed to be a complex of vector spaces. So the differential is given by this formula, and not that it's really a differential, exactly because our differentials in the particular objects were squaring to the same scalar thing. So that's the local definition.
So what's the grading on Holmium? This is Z2 grading?
It's a Z2 grading, yeah. So this same category has a global description as a category of singularities, only in terms of the singular fiber, of the critical fiber of F. And it is the quotient of the derived category of this fiber by the category of perfect complexes.
In defining the Holm, so you're defining a differential?
Yeah. Right. So the Holm is just something Z2 graded, and this is the definition of the differential. Right. And as Tom just pointed out, this category is kind of peculiar. It's not a normal non-commutative space. It's what you would call a Z2 graded non-commutative space because the shift functor here is squares to the identity. So again, in a very bad choice of terminology, one talks about Z-graded non-commutative spaces and Z2-graded non-commutative spaces, where the Z-graded are the ones I defined before, no condition on the shift functor, and the Z2-graded are the ones satisfying this condition. Okay. Oh, it's actually a better definition of this category, because here this is only working locally. Only if y is affine, this will be a good definition. If y is not affine, you have to break it into affine pieces, do this definition, and then do a complicated gluing and homotopy theory. So rather than doing that, you can actually define the category this way. And there is a theorem of Orlov that says that the two definitions coincide whenever both make sense. Yeah, there is a sense of taking a quotient of triangulated categories or differential graded categories. And this is also conceptually a very good definition because, you know, if Y was smooth, this thing will be zero. For a smooth quasi-projective variety, any coherent sheaf has a resolution by vector bundles. So this quotient really captures to what extent the singularities of Y0 prevent sheaves from being resolvable by vector bundles.
Y0 is just the fiber over 0.
Yeah. Which is my only critical fiber.
But this one is z-graded, so it won't be the same.
No, this one does have this property.
Is that z-graded?
Yeah. They're the same category.
I think you started with the z-graded before you took the quotient.
Right, but before you take the quotient, yes, but after you take the quotient, you get this isomorphism of the square of the shift function with zero. Yeah, so this z-graded versus z2 graded stuff is going to come back to haunt us, but part of life. Yeah, if F has a Morse critical point, this is actually a category generated by one object. Which, depending on the dimension, may look either as a Clifford algebra, as modules over a Clifford algebra, or modules over a symmetric algebra. In order to do Hodge theory, of course, you can't really work with arbitrary spaces. Your spaces have to be nice enough, like Keller. So we have to say what that means. So the only way you can say what it means, unfortunately, is if you require your space to be algebraic. And now the definition of algebraic is that it's the category of sheaves on that space is actually computed by a single algebra, by a single differential graded algebra. And I'm only going to talk about spaces like that. Once you have that your space is algebraic, then we'll call it proper if the cohomologies of the complex which makes up the algebra are finite dimensional and smooth.
What is this notation, perfect of A modules?
It's perfect complexes of A modules. It's the category, it's the DG category of perfect complexes of A modules. Complex that's quasi-isomorphic to a complex of projectives.
Projective.
Of projective A modules. So this is the definition. Of course, you know, I don't expect you to absorb it, but the intuition that's behind it is that any scheme is actually algebraic if you view it as a non-commutative space. And that's due to a theorem of Bondo and Vandenberg, who proved that for any scheme of finite type, the category of perfect complexes is computed by a single algebra. And that algebra, in fact, can be gotten by a particular object, by taking a particular object in the category and looking at the endomorphisms of that object. So from that point of view, this algebraic reminds, you know, it resembles a little bit the notion of affine. It's something which some variety for which everything is determined by a single algebra. And in that sense, any scheme now is algebraic. And of course, the canonical example is the projective space and Abelson theorem, which tells us exactly what that algebra is. It's the endomorphisms algebra of the sum of the standard line bundles up to the dimension. Oh, it's very non-unique. It's very non-unique. Right. So the point is that this definition, the way I gave it, it depends on the generator. But in fact, you can give it without the generator. And maybe an easier thing to say is that it doesn't depend on the choice of a generator, the property. And also the fact that if you do it for a scheme or for a variety, proper and smooth in this algebraic sense is the same as proper and smooth in the geometric sense. So this is somehow the right generalization of what proper and smooth is. And proper and smooth non-commutative spaces actually were considered for the first time by Bondo and Kapranov, who didn't know that they exist outside of real realm of algebraic geometry. But they did prove that if you have a category which is proper and smooth in this sense, it has a surfunctor. So it has a canonical surduality, and it's unique. So that's something very nice about this compact smooth spaces. And of course, if we're dealing with a scheme which is proper and smooth, then the surfunctor is what we're used to. It's the tensor ring with the canonical class and a shift in the cohomology dimension. Okay. So examples of proper and smooth spaces are, of course, the geometric guys. Anything that's a scheme and it's proper and smooth, or algebraic space and it's proper and smooth, or a stack, Gehlen-Mumford stack, which is proper and smooth, is also proper and smooth as in the non-commutative sense. Also, you can look at proper and smooth scheme with a Brouwer class. So this is, again, a stack, but not a Gehlen-Mumford stack. But as long as the moduli space is proper and smooth, then this thing is proper and smooth as a non-commutative space. So this is the category here is this category of twisted sheaves. Also, if you have a projective deformation quantization of a smooth projective variety, it's then proper and smooth. So these deformation quantizations, which are projective, they exist only under the assumption that H1 of O and H2 of O is zero. And then Kuntsevich proved that if you have a very special kind of Poisson structure, which comes from a Poisson structure on a total space of an ample line bundle, then you can deform the homogeneous coordinate ring into a new non-commutative ring and look at the graded modules over that ring, module the torsion modules, and that's going to be your new non-commutative space, which deforms the original projective variety. And these things are proper and smooth. So there are many examples that have been worked out of these guys before Kuntsevich. So they're the non-commutative projective planes of Artin, Tate, and Vandenberg. They're the non-commutative projective schemes of Artin and Zhang. They're the elliptic projective spaces of Udesky and Fagin, the quantized Delpezzo surfaces of Artin, and I don't know if I listed anything else, but this should be enough. Now, we do expect that if we start with a topological twist of a 2.2 sigma model corresponding to half of a generalized scalar structure, this is proper and smooth in the non-commutative sense. This hasn't been proven, in fact, there is now a proposal of how to define at least the category of brains, and it's algebraic by definition, and one can try to test that statement for that proposal. These notions of being algebraic, proper, and smooth, they do extend to Z2 graded non-commutative spaces, and again, the Landau-Ginzburg model is the main example, and Kuntsevich actually conjectured 2 years ago that in this case, if the function has a proper critical locus, if the singularities are compact, then the Landau-Ginzburg model is actually proper and smooth as a non-commutative space.
So algebraic meant there was some...
There is some algebra that computes the whole thing.
The category of complexes of modules, and then you take perfect...
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that there is such an algebra for Landau-Ginzburg? What is it? You're just saying proper and smooth.
Proper and smooth assumes algebraic.
Just for a Landau-Ginzburg model, what is the algebra?
Well, it doesn't exist. I mean, we don't know if it exists in general, but Kuntsevich conjectures that it does. And in the examples that we can write,
I take Cn and I take a polynomial.
So it's known. Yeah, the algebra is just going to be the algebra that's gotten from the algebra functions module of the Jacobian ideal. So this is actually an old result. So it's an old result of Saito that if you have a germ of quasi-homogeneous isolated singularity, then the Landau-Ginzburg model is proper and smooth. There is a new result of Orlov that says that if your singular fiber has at most rational singularities, then it's computed by an algebra and it's proper and smooth. And there are many examples that were checked by Orul, Kartsarkov, and Orlov, which says that if you have our Landau-Ginzburg model, which is gotten as the Hori-Waffen mirror of surfaces, essentially quantized Delpezzo surfaces or weighted projective surfaces, then it's proper and smooth. So this conjecture has been verified at least in this class of examples. Okay, now cohomology, right? We now know what a compact smooth space is in the non-commutative sense. Now we want to compute its cohomology and presumably get a Hodge structure on it. So the cohomology is the cohomology. Remember, a particular example was this quantization of a projective variety, which is honestly non-commutative. Yeah, this deformation quantization is a particular example of that. Or the things with the B field were a particular example of that. So I think that's the rationale behind the terminology. I still think it's a bad terminology. We need a better terminology, but you know.
If you took a Landau-Ginzburg model and had a more strict point at the origin.
Uh huh. Right. But the proper and smooth is different, right? It just says that essentially the singular locus behave Hodge theoretically as a smooth space. Well, you know, the category of the Landau-Ginzburg model is different from the category of the ambient space, right? So you can only talk about the Landau-Ginzburg model in this non-commutative sense.
Actually, I'm quite confused. You say the algebra that you're using to say it's algebraic is the cardinal ring, very simple example. Mm-hmm. Cn. Now, supposing that the superpotential has a more square root one, and isn't the chiral ring trivial?
Yeah. It's the field.
The algebra is just the complex
numbers. Just the complex numbers. So what was I going to say? Cohomology, yeah. So if you have a unit of DG algebra that computes the space, the category of shifts on the space, then you can look at the reduced homological Hochschild complex of the algebra, the cone differential, which is a differential that goes backwards, and you have two natural cohomology theories that you built out of those two. You have the Hochschild homology and the periodic cyclic homology, given by the Hochschild differential and the Hochschild differential corrected by the cone differential. And I was going to type, actually, the definitions, but since I don't have time for anything, I'm glad I didn't type them. So there are some explicit formulas that you can write for these guys. And in fact, there is a very nice interpretation of the same cohomology entirely in terms of the category. And there is this formal variable that enters in the definition of the periodic cyclic homology, which here in this labeling is going to be homogeneous of degree 2. And the periodic cyclic homology is actually a module over the Laurent series, formal Laurent series in the variable U. Okay. So if we deal with the smooth affine variety, then the Hochschild homology is the global differential forms, and the cone differential is the Deram differential. If we deal with a smooth scheme, then the Hochschild homology is essentially the Dolboko homology, but it's labeled slightly differently. So the kth Hochschild homology is the kth column in the Hodge diamond in the standard writing. The periodic cyclic homology is periodic with period 2, and so only two pieces of it matter, the even and the odd piece. And in the case of a smooth scheme, the even piece is just the even Deram cohomology, and the odd piece is the odd Deram cohomology. And so the point is, what happened? the point is that these guys are good substitutes or good analogs for Dubois and the Ramka homology, and they're entirely determined by the algebra or by the category. So this will be my non-commutative Dubois and the Ramka homology. Well, it depends. If X is proper and smooth, they're not. No. Depends again on whether X is proper and smooth. So this first X is not proper. It's smooth, but it's not proper. Okay, so these guys are well defined, meaning that they depend only on the category. And that goes back to the theorem of Keller. If we are dealing with a proper and smooth space, first of all, you can define the Dubois homology intrinsically very easily. It's just given by some homomorphisms between the identity functor and the surfactor. And also, they're all finite dimensional. And the dimension of the Dubois homology actually measures the dimension of the De Ramka homology. So the obvious definition here is that we'll say that for a proper and smooth space, the Hochschild-De-Ramka spectral sequence collapses at U1 if the dimensions are equal. That's what happens in the usual Hodge theory.
Hang on a minute, Tony. On that last slide, did you say there's business that morphisms between the identity and the
surfactor?
Mm-hmm. Is that right? I thought there was this statement
that
in the derived category, if you do that, you don't get the right answer.
Right, but we're not in the derived category, we're in the DG category.
So, what are these DG morphisms between?
Yeah, the category of endo functors is a DG category, and these are morphisms in that DG category. Yeah, in fact, there is a theorem that says that any functor between two DG categories which are algebraic is the category of functors between two DG categories which are algebraic is equivalent to the category of bimodules between these two DG categories. So the thing that actually does not work in the triangulated sense, it does work in the DG field. Okay, so we say that the Hochschild-De-Ramka spectral sequence collapses if these two dimensions are the same. And this is going to be our substitute for a Keller space. A Keller space will be a proper and smooth space for which the Ram and the Dubois homology have the same dimension.
But there is an actual spectral sequence.
Actually, there is, but I don't want to go into that. I can tell you later. It's just a spectral sequence for variations of Hodge structures, not for. Okay, so now every proper and smooth non-commutative space should have a collapsing Hochschild-De-Ramka spectral sequence. That's what Kontsevich conjectured. I actually have no idea why he made this conjecture. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but so far no evidence to the contrary. And the conjecture is true for proper and smooth schemes, or Dillon-Mumford stacks, or gerbs, or quantum deformations. It is also true for Landau-Ginzburg models with critical locus which is proper. And that requires some theorem that I hopefully will talk about at the end, and an old theorem of Varangnikov and Kontsevich. It's also surprisingly true in a fairly big generality when you know that the algebra that computes the category is just an algebra rather than a DG algebra. And that's a recent result of Kaledin. And in fact, it seems that his proof should work in general, but he is cautious and doesn't want to claim it in general. Okay, now if we have this non-commutative Keller space, we immediately get some interesting structures from the cohomology. First of all, you can take the De Ramka and Dubois cohomology and combine them into a family labeled by Okay, there is a D missing there, the Hochschild differential is missing. Labeled by this formal parameter U. So there should be a D here. And that was what was defining the periodic cyclic homology, and when you send U to zero, you get just the Hochschild homology. So you get a family of periodic cyclic guys over the punctured formal disk, and at zero it's completed by the Hochschild homology. So you get a vector bundle on the formal disk. It is a vector bundle exactly because we're assuming that the Hochschild Weyl spectral sequence degenerates. This bundle has a canonical connection, which I have no time to explain for all U not equal to zero. I'll hopefully tell you what the connection is in the Landau-Ginzburg case. And also pairing between fibers of the bundle in opposite points. The connection has a quasi-onipotent monodromy in examples. It has a regular singularity at zero in examples. And at most of the examples, it has a first-order pole at zero. But at some examples, it has second-order pole at zero, for instance, for the Landau-Ginzburg model. So this is a kind of a strange situation, because usually when we have a connection with regular singularity on a punctured disk, we can always extend the vector bundle so that it will have a first-order pole. But here we don't have a choice of how we extend our vector bundle. It's extended by the cohomology theory we're dealing with. And for that particular extension, it actually has a second-order pole. OK, so you can take this structure and turn it into a definition. So a pure non-commutative core structure is going to be a triple of a vector bundle on a small disk centered at zero, a flat connection defined outside of zero, which has regular singularity, quasi-unipotent monodromy, and at most a second-order pole. And there will be a lattice outside of zero, which generates our vector bundle, and it's horizontal with respect to the connection. So in the previous discussion, when I told you that on the cohomology of a category we get this structure, well, we did get the first two pieces, but the lattice we did not get, and that's a really big problem. So in the geometric examples, say schemes, stacks, deformation quantizations, and Landau-Ginzburg model, we can actually define the lattice by using topology, but there is no intrinsic categorical definition. And I'll give you in the Landau-Ginzburg case. I'll tell. So in the standard case, this lattice is just going to be the integral Betti cohomology. It's going to be exactly. So this thing will specialize to ordinary Hodge structures. I don't have time to explain how, but and there the lattice will be just the image of the topological K theory or the image of the ordinary cohomology, whatever your preference is. But it's not clear what to do when you just have a category. And in fact, you can define, you can state a non-commutative Hodge conjecture, which says that if you have a proper and smooth space, then the image of the K theory of the category in the lattice is the same as the image of the trivial non-commutative Hodge structure in the Hodge structure. So it's exactly what the usual Hodge conjecture says, but in this fancy language. Okay, so let's see polarizations. So the most important thing here really is the polarization, and it's very delicate. We won't be able to absorb it, but I have to say what it is. So a polarization on a non-commutative core structure is a quadruple now, H, Nabla, K, and Psi, where H, Nabla, and K is a vector bundle on P1 with a flat connection outside of 0 and infinity and a lattice, such that when you restrict it on a disk of radius r, it gives you the vector bundle and connection and a lattice that we started with. This vector bundle on P1 is actually homomorphically trivial. This just to handle the Zimov 2 graded case with the Zimov graded case at the same time. So this just gets rid of the weights. In the Z graded case, it need not be homomorphically trivial. It can be semi-stable of slope W, where W will be the weight. And then we have a pairing between this bundle and the complex conjugate bundle at antipodal points given by the radius. And it's supposed to be non-degenerate and Hermitian symmetric, depends homomorphically on U. It's Nabla horizontal. and induces a positive definite Hermitian pairing on the global sections. So that's what the polarization is.
What was the data you had before? It was just on.
Yeah, before I only had it on a small disk near zero, and there was no pairing there. So in fact, here what I'm saying is that I have to extend my data to the whole of P1, maybe with another pole at infinity, and I have a pairing which covers the antipodal map with some radius.
In the Hartzell case, it was only a form of this.
Right, but because I'm assuming it has a regular singularity, you can always extend it on an actual disk.
But it did have a pairing before. Did it not, was there not a pairing before?
No, there was no pairing. This is the first time the pairing appears. And yeah, so in fact, I stated it that way, but if you specify your pairing on the small disk already, you can get the extension automatically from that by using the real structure. So the extension is completely determined, but you still need to impose this condition about psi being non-degenerate globally and Hermitian positive. Okay, and these things have been studied actually extensively, and they appear in the works of people who study singularities. So Hartling calls it trivial TERP structure, and Sabah calls it integrable polarized twister structure. And yeah, I don't think this is an improvement to non-commutative Hodge structure, but yeah, take your pick. And the conjecture of Kuntsevich is that for any proper and smooth non-commutative space, the Hodge structure on the Deramco homology of the space is polarizable. And this was proven, actually, by Baranikov a long time ago for schemes and stacks and quantizations. We proved it for the half of the generalized Keller structures, because there the cohomology is really the Deramco homology of Gualtieri. And if you apply Gualtieri's Hodge decomposition theorem, you get this essentially for free. So it's not even a theorem, it's just a small check. And it was recently proven by Sabah that for the Landau-Ginzburg model, the Hodge structure is polarizable. And that's a very delicate theorem. So let me tell you a little bit about what we can prove. So the first structure theorem is what these non-commutative Hodge structures make. Well, they make a tensor category, because you can certainly tensor them. It's a rigid tensor category, and the amazing thing is it's really semi-simple, so they behave really like usual pure Hodge structures. And this uses the polarizability. So this is, we should say pure polarizable non-commutative Hodge structures, because otherwise. Yeah, so this is the analog of the usual statement that the category of pure polarizable Hodge structures is semi-simple. Okay, and this theorem, this structure theorem, you can use to actually prove that for Landau-Ginzburg models, the topological lattice that I haven't told you how to define, but I'll tell you in a second, is an invariant of the category. So you have to use the topology of the space Y and the function F to define this lattice. I don't know how to define it without the topology. But you can use then this semi-simplicity theorem to prove that the lattice you defined actually depends only on the category. So if you have two Landau-Ginzburg models with equivalent categories of brains, the lattices are the same. And then Kacarkov and Kuntsevich actually use that statement to prove that the non-commutative Hodge conjecture for Landau-Ginzburg models falls from the usual Hodge conjecture. It doesn't give you anything new. Okay. Wow, I may be even able to finish.
What's all this data in the case that you just take a smooth space X?
Yeah.
So what is all this data? Is this just the usual variation Hodge structure?
The data, you mean of the non-commutative Hodge structure? Yeah, it's just the usual commutative Hodge structure, but you just repackage it differently to construct this bundle on P1 with a connection and a pairing. But the polarization on the usual Hodge structure gives you the pairing. The only tricky thing is to how to say what the connection is, and for this you need to use this Ries module functor. So I can tell you after we're done. It's just some equivalent way of talking about Hodge structures, which is geometric rather than algebraic. But it does generalize to this non-commutative sense case. Okay, now let me talk about the Landau-Ginzburg model. What Hodge theoretic invariants can we extract for it? So you start with a Landau-Ginzburg model, which is supposed to be smooth and proper. So it has a proper critical locus. And the amazing thing is that if you start just with the space and the function, you can define Betti, Deram, and Oboku homologies for that space without any mentioning the category at all. And here they are. No, here they are. Okay, the Betti cohomology is the relative cohomology of the total space by a smooth fiber. And this is, if you've seen Lefschetz theory, this is exactly the thing that's generated by Lefschetz thimbles. The Deram cohomology is the cohomology of the Deram complex, where the differential is just corrected by the function. And the Dobok homology is the same cohomology, but you just drop the Deram differential. You keep the function. And you can check that these are all isomorphic, and that the Deram and the Dobok homology coincide with the periodic cyclic and Hochschild cohomology of the category. And once you know that they coincide, you now can ask the question about the generation of the Hochschild-Deram spectral sequence. It's going to be a question about this dimension equals that dimension. And this is exactly what Baranikov and Kontsevich proved in 97. This is a non-trivial theorem. Okay, now, how do we compute that? So we have this family. There is I didn't say what the connection is. I promised to tell you what the connection is. So you have this family parameterized by U, deforming the Ram to Dobo, and I was claiming that there is a connection. It's actually the Gauss-Manning connection for the function f, but you have to do a Fourier transform on it. So this family is known in singularity theory as something called the Gauss-Manning system, and Briscoe actually constructed this connection on it as a Fourier transform many, many years ago, and it does work regardless of whether f is with isolated singularities or not at the origin.
Both face H is a hypercohomology?
Both face H is hypercohomology because this is a complex. Okay, now how do I compute this non-commutative Hodge structure? Well, the idea is very simple. Let's convert it to ordinary Hodge structures. It's going to be more complicated, but computable. So the first remark is that the total space of our Landau-Ginzburg model has the same homotopy type as the singular fiber, because I have only one singular fiber, and I can retract onto it. So if I have the inclusion, there is a retraction, and then I can take this retraction map and restrict it on a smooth fiber. So there is this specialization to zero map in Keller geometry, which takes a smooth fiber and maps it onto the singular fiber. And anything that's in that's collapsed by this map is a vanishing cycle in the standard Lefschetz theory. And the link constructed nearby and vanishing co-cycle functors that takes complexes of a billion groups on Y and send them to complexes of a billion groups on the singular fibers. And this is how they're constructed. But the point is that if you apply that to the constants, then you get a long exact sequence where the cohomology of the singular fiber go to the cohomology of the smooth fiber, and the difference is exactly this cohomology of the vanishing cycles. In particular, what I call the Betti cohomology, the thing generated by the Lefschetz thimbles, is exactly the cohomology of the vanishing co-cycles in this categorical sense with a shift by one. And Sabah had proven, actually, that the same thing holds for the Deram and the Dobok homology. Because vanishing co-cycles you can apply to any complex. In particular, you can apply to the Deram complex and the Dobok complex. And so the cohomology of the Landau-Ginzburg model can be also computed as the cohomology of the vanishing cycles. Okay, now, the point is that the cohomology of the vanishing cycles actually is known to have a Hodge structure. A mixed Hodge structure by the work of Steenbring. And so what's the relationship between this mixed Hodge structure and the and the non-commutative pure Hodge structure that we constructed? Well, here is the statement. The limiting mixed twister structure, so there is something which is an analog of a mixed Hodge structure, which is a mixed twister structure, which is the limiting thing of this non-commutative Hodge structure as tau goes to infinity, so you just rescale your potential with a variable tau, is isomorphic to the mixed Hodge structure on the vanishing cohomology. And in particular, you can use this to show that for Landau-Ginzburg models, the mixed Hodge structure, ordinary mixed Hodge structure on the vanishing cohomology of the potential is an invariant of the category of brains. So there is no way to define a priori this mixed Hodge structure from the category. And these considerations actually tell you how to do it. In particular, now, if you believe mirror symmetry, and your Landau-Ginzburg model is the Korivaffe mirror of a symplectic manifold, then the mixed Hodge structure on the vanishing cohomology is going to be a symplectic invariant. And you do expect mirror symmetry to change, to switch non-commutative Hodge structures on cohomology of the mirrors, because the non-commutative Hodge structure specializes to the usual Hodge structure for the Calabi-Yau case. And in fact, this has been checked by Gross and Kotsarkov for varieties which underline complete intersections of pure type, either Fano or Calabi-Yau or variety of general type, and of dimensions up to 1, 2, and 3. And they really check that if you take the mixed Hodge structure on the vanishing cohomology, rotate it to 90 degrees, extract a non-commutative Hodge structure from it, it's exactly the Hodge structure on the original guy, on the cohomology of the original guy. So this generalizes the usual picture of taking two Hodge diamonds of Calabi-Yau and rotating them with each other. And actually, this is my last slide. So, unbelievable. Yeah.
So maybe I just missed it and you said it, but so this is supposed to be supposed to give some more properties of the brains in these models.
That's right. So this non-abelian Hodge structure on the cohomology should tell you something about the D brains. I don't know what it says. So for instance, there will be particular charges that are going to be constant horizontal with respect to this connection that's part of the non-abelian Hodge structure. So these are some very special charges. I don't know what the physical meaning for those charges is.
Well, let's take a very simple case. I mean, supposing we have Cn
with an isolated singularity.
Suppose it has Morse critical points.
Yeah.
I know you wanted, throughout you were assuming it was a single critical point, but maybe...
Yeah, you can redo the whole thing with many, many critical points.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then this Hodge structure is actually an ordinary Hodge structure of Tate type. You get one dimensional vector space for each Morse critical point, which sits in degree 1-1, and depends on the dimension it could be in. So it's not very interesting. It's not a really deep invariant. It looks like, you know, like the typical example is you take the projective space. You take the mirror of the projective space, it's exactly a Hodge structure. It's exactly a Landau-Ginzburg model with so if it's an n-dimensional projective space, it's a Landau-Ginzburg model with n Morse singular fibers, right? And the Hodge structure is exactly going to give you the Hodge structure of the projective space, which looks exactly like, you know, a space in degree 0-0, a space in degree 1-1, a space in degree 2-2, and so on. So each of the critical points will give you one of those pieces.
There's probably some planning for Fourier transform.
For.
Right.
Oh, that's right. No, I mean that's why I took the. So this is this technical issue with translating the point to the origin. So there is a Fourier transform that you have to take of the Landau-Ginzburg model in order to the D module for the one.
Questions?